Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, MileIQ. MileIQ is the number one mileage tracker app, and more than a million Americans trust MileIQ to automatically log their drives every single day. MileIQ is the only mileage tracker app that detects, logs, and calculates your drives for you automatically. It's incredibly easy to use and keeps all your drives securely stored in the cloud. The average MileIQ user logs $547 a month in drives. That's over $6,000 in a year in miles you could be claiming. Stop wasting time manually tracking your miles and stop losing money that you should be redeeming. MileIQ does all the work, letting you focus on what's actually important. You can download the MileIQ app for free and start your free trial right away. Grab your iPhone or Android device right now and text HTE to 31996 and you will start your 40 drive free trial. Create an account this week and you'll get an additional 20% off an annual plan. One more time, you need to text HTE to the number 31996 to start your 40 drive free trial today.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. It is so very cool of you to join me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Joni. My guest today is an international speaker, best-selling author, instigator of the human-to-human business movement, and an entrepreneur. He's the CEO and co-founder of Pure Matter, an award-winning digital content and marketing agency. He's also the author of Human-to-Human and Shareology, and he's the renowned speaker known for his recent TED Talk titled, Why Sharing is Reimagining Our Future. Now, let's hack Brian Kramer. Driving for work is a double-edged sword. Either you're spending too much time tracking every mile or you're guesstimating and end up losing money. MileIQ is the number one mileage tracker app more than a million Americans trust MileIQ to automatically log their drives every single day. In fact, the average MileIQ user logs $547 a month in drives. That's over $6,000 a year in miles that you could be claiming. MileIQ has a 5-star rating in both the Google Play and iTunes app stores. So stop wasting your time manually tracking miles and stop losing money that you should be redeeming. MileIQ does all the work, letting you focus on what's actually important. Download the MileIQ app for free and start your free trial right away. Text HTE to the number 31996 and start your 40 drive free trial today. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very special guest. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
I am doing excellent. Thank you so much for joining me. Let's do this, Brian.
Let's do it.
All right. Brian, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
You know, I would say that writing is my biggest thing that I would say has contributed to my success. Really, you know, and when I say writing, I mean blogging. And really, if you want to take that a step further, even creating content like, you know, video and audio, podcasts and things like that. Anytime I think I've created content, I've gotten something good out of it.
Yeah. How long have you been writing, like blogging for?
Blogging has been, I want to say almost 5 years in some fashion or another. And then I've blogged every single Sunday on my own blog. So yeah, it's been something that I have not missed a day. I've gone every single Sunday, posted it up, and that's kind of my own personal deadline. And it helps keep me and my mind kind of moving about what's hot and what I'm thinking about, you know, in terms of my business and what other people are starting to, I think, connect with as well.
I love it. And I know that the listener is out there and she's thinking that she's heard that so many times that she should be writing or she should be creating this content, but it's hard, right? Like 5 years ago when you didn't have 5 years behind you, it's almost impossible to foresee that you would have that much content and where that content will lead you. But it's so essential. And you're right, like looking back, having that deadline, I think, is probably the best thing. So did you initially, like 5 years ago, like you're just like, every Sunday, I'm just going to write my thoughts. That's what I'm going to do, no matter if I have an audience or not.
Yeah, I did. It's at well, if we go back just a little bit further, I did a TED talk, and the talk really was about how sharing saved my career and how it reimagined my future. And so years back, I had a chance to, you know, kind of think through what I wanted to do in my career, even though I was, you know, running Pure Matter and we were doing quite well, but I was not feeling it. I wasn't, you know, in a place of, you know, positive forward motion and understanding who I wanted to be when I grew up, despite everything that I had already accomplished. So at that time, I thought, wow, this is really cool that social media and blogging and all these different great things could connect me with other people to maybe learn what else is out there, what people are talking about, and learn from other people. So I started to do that, and I started to interview other people, and you know, those interviews turned into actual video interviews. And in the same thing with blogging, I started to think about, you know, how I could get some of the things that I was thinking out of all that lesson, out of the lessons learned over my years, or just interviews with other people and what lessons they've learned, into a blog format and get that out. So I did that. I started to turn on the, you know, I had a degree in mass communications and even more specifically in journalism and writing. So I already had that kind of in my quiver, and I was able to pull out, you know, a way of connecting with other people through thoughts and ideas. And blogging just kind of smacked me over the head. And you know, I started, if you go back to my original blogs, they were really bad. Like really, really bad. And it got to the point where I just started to learn over time what good blogging was, at least in my mind. And that's kind of my story there as far as blogging goes.
And yeah, and that's the process, right? We all, as we say in podcasting, we all have a certain amount of bad radio in us. And you have to get that out of you. There's no way to do it except to do it. So it's the same with writing and blogging. So you mentioned when you started blogging, you were already running Pureology, or Pure Matter, sorry. It's Shareology, the book. But can we go back then to the beginning? Because there seems to be this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. That either they have this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or they find that they just are simply unemployable and cannot work for somebody else anymore. I'd love to know, Brian, which side of the fence you see yourself on, and take us back to when you discovered this.
So how far back I discovered
that you were either unemployable or that you just needed to create something out of nothing and make this difference in people's lives.
Something out of nothing. That's a good one.
That's entrepreneurship.
I suppose we are doing that.
That's the basis of all of it, right? Just
right. Right. I love that. Something out of nothing. So I think I've always wanted to own a business ever since I can even remember. It's not even, you know, kind of a thing that hit me over the head one day. It's just something that I've wanted to do since I can even remember. I think that everything that I've done in my life led me to, you know, what then became Pure Matter. And now Pure Matter was not my testing grounds. I actually had a place before this that I worked with another mentor of mine who invited me in to a business that was about three people when I started in 75, when we sold it to a public company. I got a chance to learn the ropes from not only him, but the growth of that company during the dot-com era. So I think that really helped a lot in working. First of all, working for someone else helped a lot. Working for a place that grew and that was able to be at the epicenter of that growth to see what worked and what did not work, how to approach things and how to make mistakes on, you know, maybe an area that wasn't just on your dime. And so when I came out of it, I came out with probably the best lesson ever, having dealt with people. Because when you come out of college, you're not dealing with employees. You're not dealing with, you know, all those day-to-day rigorous, you know, deadlines. While the deadlines may seem scary in college, they're really not the deadlines of what we face in our career. So, yeah, so I think that is one of the biggest things, is just finding a place where you can sink your teeth in and learn everything. And I mean, I learned to never say no in any of my jobs. And I still find it funny when I have people come to me and say, I can't do this, or I shouldn't do this, or maybe someone else could do this, something like that, because I never do that. I really, and maybe I don't know if that makes me different or unique or weird, but I really believe in the power of yes. And you just say yes to so many different things because you never know what's going to come out of it. And every time I walked out of a job in my first, 10 years of my career, I'd walk out with just some kind of like new lesson of something new that I never would have gotten if I didn't say yes. And I just go figure it out, or I go ask somebody, or I go, well, there was no really online at that then. So you really have to talk to humans and actually figure it out, which is, you know, what we should still be doing anyway. So I think saying yes would be my number one thing early on and every day.
Nice. And so you still say yes to everything? Well, you said yes to me. I guess you might.
I really do. I mean, I don't say yes to, so there's certain things that I won't say yes to anymore, like speaking. Last year, I did over 50 events in speaking events, and it just about killed me. So that's going to change this year. I'm going to cut that down to less than a half, and I'll be taking on just paid speaking this year in a way of actually filtering down to the things that I just need to be spending my time on. But as far as interviews goes, if the person is real and they're nice and we can talk and we can learn from each other, man, I'm always open to it. And especially stuff like this, we're creating content and we're getting to know each other. So the next time I see you online, it actually means something, where before you were, no offense, but you know, you were just another Twitter handle because they didn't know who you were. Or you didn't know who I was.
Exactly.
And so I love these things because we get to meet each other. As long as we both can work out the time, why not? Right.
Exactly. All right, Brian. So writing and blogging for the past 5 years has been the biggest thing. Earlier on, it was saying yes to everything. Now, every expert talks this whole 80-20 rule, right? So in your business, you're supposed to do 20% and get 80% of the results. You're supposed to do what you're good at only and delegate all of the rest. Brian, can you tell me something in your business that you're absolutely not good at?
Yeah, I'm not good at being in in a meeting for 2 hours. I'm not good at anything that takes longer than almost 20 minutes. I'm very ADD. In fact, that's why I asked you how long are we going to be on, and not because I was trying to get off your podcast soon. It's because I seriously have to get up and go do something every 20 to 30 minutes, and that's kind of how I operate. So everyone at my company knows, you know, they have a certain amount of time with me before my brain kind of like starts shutting down because it just needs to do something different every 20 to 30 minutes. And so I just kind of operate that way. And I if they need more time for me, it's really hard for me. I can do it, but it's just something that I have to really work at.
Okay. I love this because this is something that so many of us as, I guess, entrepreneurs, I think, deal with. But would you say that you fought this earlier on in your career and like trying to convince yourself that, no, you just had to get more either, you know what I mean? Like, maybe I just need to be more structured, or maybe I need more habits. Maybe I need to get a new schedule, or maybe I need to figure out how to do to-do lists. But you seem really confident in the fact that you can only sit for 20 minutes and then you got to get up and go. But I wonder if it was always like this.
It's always been like this ever since I was in first grade. I got moved to a table by myself because I couldn't sit still. And I still remember it. And if my parents were on this podcast, they would tell you that they remember it as well. And I don't believe that I am rude or that I can't, that I treat people indifferently because I have to get up and go. I'm very, I think, cognizant of it and nice about it. But at the same time, I know that I will start shaking my leg and starting to sway back and forth and needing to go do something at a certain time. And so I'll just excuse myself. And I think it's actually, as soon as I started to understand that about me, it served me really well, because I think I get a lot done in a day. Because if I can accomplish one thing, let's say every 30 minutes, although I think it's shorter than that, but one thing every 30 minutes, you know, that's what, 16 things at the most, if I were to really have an efficient day. Not all days are like that, but I look at it that way. And if I could make 16 different decisions or meet someone in half of those, meet new people or talk or have a conversation, it's just an efficiency thing to me, where I'm not wasting my time talking about something longer than it needs to be talked about.
Yeah. I love that. Turn the weakness into a strength. Make it just that you're just hyper efficient, not focused. You're very, very focused for 20 minutes. So let's move on to projects. Projects is a very loose term. So whether this is a new book you decide to write, or just any new project that comes through your inbox, or you meet somebody at a conference and this idea or an idea comes to you in the shower, But I would love to know, Brian, how you right now personally decide when a new project is worth your time, energy, and resources.
My heart. I feel it in my gut, my heart. If I think something is cool, if I'm looking at something and it really juices me up, it sounds like fun. If it's something that I can get behind and I'm going to be passionate about it and people are going to feel that authentic passion around it, and I feel like I'm not just putting on a face over it. Anytime I have to be fake over something, or, you know, I'm doing it, but I don't really want to do it, then it's not a good idea. It's just not a good idea. I should probably say no, even if it means turning down a lot of money, because it won't work. It will come across as, it will be wasted time, because I'll walk out of it feeling like I just did something I really didn't like to do. And it was 2 days or 5 days or an hour or something that I'll never get back again. And then the rest of my day is shot, or the rest of my week is shot. And I want to walk out of this year and this lifetime having done everything that I possibly can that I just loved doing. Wow, that was so much fun. I just want to walk out of everything saying that.
Yeah, and that's, I love that. So following your heart and following your gut. And so the idea, it's not that you don't look for like a analytic or a metric that's going to tell you like, well, there's a certain market that will be into this. Do you feel honestly that if you are that passionate about it, that the world is a big enough place and you have enough access to people via the internet that you will find people that are into it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's one of the greatest things about social media. if there's somebody for everything. That's like, you know, saying this, there's somebody for everyone. You know, there's so many different ways you can get things done. And I tend to think that I try to outsource everything, because I know that if I outsource something, it opens up room for something else. And every time I outsource a little piece of something, then for some reason, my world just gets bigger and I'm able to do new and interesting things. And so I really love finding people to do different things and then thinking about, wow, how could we work together that might fit into, you know, a place where we can both expand, but also might be able to outsource to them and help them, and they may be able to help me.
Yeah, that's awesome. So you're a good delegator, would you say?
Oh my God, I am the master delegator.
I love it.
There are times that I suck at it, and that's probably the times I suck at it is when I'm overwhelmed. Because I have four companies, and when everything's coming at me, plus, you know, I'm maybe on a trip or I'm speaking or writing or something, then I'm totally overwhelmed and I can't delegate it. It's just like, that's really hard for me. So when that happens, I literally sit down with my assistant and maybe one or two other people, and I just brain dump. I just tell them what my challenges are, and they just take it off my plate. But other than that, we use Asana, and it's a great project management tool. And I actually just, you know, delegate every little task. You know, everything is a process, and I outline the steps, or I either verbally or written, I outline the steps of how I would approach something, and then they take that and run with it, and it works really well.
I love it. Asana is amazing, and it's completely free. And it's been a while since we talked about it on this show. So we've talked about everything that kind of seems to be going right or has gone right. And one of our greatest struggles, I think, as human beings, and especially as entrepreneurs, is that fear of being wrong, right? So especially when you're delegating or telling a team to do something or to get their resources and energy behind something, and then it turns out that that's totally a mistake and it failed. So Brian, would you be able to walk us through, within your business, can you tell us like how to be wrong?
How to be wrong. You know, I think I am all the time. You know, and I gave a talk at Inbound this last year that was, the title of it was How to Embrace Your Inner Gaylord Focker, How Your Focker Moments. And my wife calls me Gaylord Focker. She has been since we were first dating 17 years ago. We saw the movie, you know, Meet the Parents, and almost all the movie I did not laugh at. And when we walked out, she asked me why. And I said, you know, that most of that happened to me, and it wasn't funny, because that was my life. And so she said, you know what, you need to learn to embrace your inner Focker, and you'll find that, you know, the imperfections are the funny things. And I was like, wow, that's profound. I want to marry you. So, you know, that led to me marrying her, but it also led to me kind of thinking about life differently and actually embracing my imperfections and seeing that every mistake I made was not just something that I needed to learn from, but also it was hilarious because who does that happen to, right? When you trip and fall or you hit your head on a lamppost or a dozen other things that I probably couldn't say on this podcast that are just like, what, how the heck did you do that? Not that it's like, I'll stop there. It wasn't that bad. I can say it on the podcast. We don't have enough time, but things happen. And so when you learn to embrace them, I think people start to identify with you because it actually happens to all of us. And we all like people who are human. And we want to, I think, connect with people who we identify with. And if we're all making mistakes together and we're learning from them and we're just being who we are, then I think that really, you know, connects people together faster.
Beautiful answer. Beautiful answer. I love it. All right, Brian, this has been a blast. I'm going to lose your attention soon. So I want to wrap up with one final question.
Yeah.
This idea I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap, which seems to be this place sometimes we live in. As entrepreneurs, we are always projecting our successes into the future, right? So in a year when you stand on that stage, you will be successful. In 6 months, when you hit that revenue goal, you'll be successful. Yet, right before you hit that goal, you set 5 or 10 loftier ones into the future. And we're always going to be successful when. And I agree, we have to push forward always, but sometimes we end up in this gap where we never are seeing ourselves as successful. So you've done many, many things. You're running multiple businesses right now. You've had a lot of successes. I would love it if you would stop right now, look behind you, look at the wins, the losses, the highs, the lows, and tell me how you feel about your entrepreneurial journey up until today.
I literally look behind me. Okay, so... You know, I think that it had to happen the way it did. And that's both fortunate and unfortunate. I did hit some lows, and I think everybody does. And I think, you know, there are some things in my past that really shaped me and made me who I am today based upon those. I'd never, you know, self-funded a company before. And I think, you know, there are some financial changes and differences and things I would make, but then again, there's no way I could have known that had I not just jumped in and tried it, kind of like we were talking about with podcasting, you just got to do it. So I am exactly where I need to be today. I'm having a time of my life because of it. And now I get a chance to actually look back and say, wow, I understand now why that happened that way.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I love it. All right, Brian, this has been a blast. I would love it if you would specifically tell the listener where to find out more about your business and where to find you online.
Yeah, I swear to God, the sirens in the background are not coming to get me.
That's why you're in a rush, I think.
Yeah. So best place to find me, there's two places. You can go to purematter.com. That's PUREMATTER.com. That's our agency. It's content social digital agency. The second place is just my own website. That's Brian Kramer, BryanKramer. That's where I podcast and write blogs and have all my stuff up there. So if you want to connect or subscribe to my newsletter, I've got free downloadable resources and my books there. Everything's there. So connect with me and I'd love to hear what you think and how your entrepreneurial life is going.
Excellent. Excellent. Take Brian up on that. I will link to Brian Kramer, Pure Matter, Asana, which we talked about, and Brian's books on Amazon for you in the show notes. So they're easy to find when you stop driving or commuting. So Brian, thank you again so very much for taking the time to stop by. I really do appreciate it. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Same to you.
Well, that was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as I enjoyed being part of that. Sometimes I have a guest on who I don't know that much about them going into it. And then partway through the conversation, it's like we make a really cool connection, a really kind of deeper connection. And I feel like I know them and that we see eye to eye on some things. And I don't know, it's a cool feeling. And I really, really got that with Brian. So thank you, Brian, for that. And I hope that those kind of conversations, when that happens, I hope that it's as obvious to you as it is to me. And it's just fun. And so we went some interesting places with the conversation, but then I had to go back and I had to listen through again to see if the parts that I thought were as interesting as they were originally were just that interesting. And so I went through and I listened to it and I caught 4 things the second time through. And then I went through again and then there was 2 things that really, really stood out to me. So I listened to it one more time. And that last time there was this one thing that Brian said. This one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I think I get a lot done in a day because if I can accomplish one thing, let's say every 30 minutes, although I think it's shorter than that, but one thing every 30 minutes, you know, that's 16 things at the most if I were to really have an efficient day. Not all days are like that, but I look at it that way. And if I could make 16 different decisions or meet someone in half of those, meet new people or talk or have a conversation, it's just an efficiency thing to me where I'm not wasting my time talking about something longer than it needs to be talked about.
And that's the hack. Brian. There are so many things I love about this. This is really, really cool. So I love the idea of that you have this really short attention span that rather than using that as a negative and an excuse to not get things done, you break everything into small parts where you say 30 minutes is even long for you. And this is really, really cool. This is such an essential thing, not just for you, Brian, but for everyone, I think. You really have to be aware of how you work, how you think, how your brain functions, how you can work. Especially when it comes to working on your own, this is always an issue. People say, like, how do you even convince yourself to work if you don't have a boss telling you? And it's like, you have to do these things. You have to figure out how it is you work and then kind of trick yourself into getting these things done, right? So 16 parts, which allows him to do that. And then I love how he says 16 parts allows him to do these 16 things, which is to be really productive. And he's like, well, not all days are like that. And he kind of laughs because it's true. And that's another thing. All your days can't be at optimum performance. They just can't. And it's foolish to try and expect that of yourself. But you need to be sort of at this peak performance some days so that the days that come where you're not, you can kind of just, it's okay to not get some stuff down and you don't beat yourself up over it, all that sort of thing. And then I love his idea of the 16 decisions, because I think after interviewing over 200 brilliant, brilliant entrepreneurs now, the one thing that I've noticed that's really, really sort of runs across them all is this ability to make a decision quickly. It's very, very, very important. That decision-making skill, whether it's right or wrong, that decision is almost irrelevant. It has to be right enough times, but it does not have to be nearly right enough. But the ability to not be able to make a decision and just to just not sure what to do next, that's what kills companies. That's what kills projects. That's what just destroys the ability to create something out of nothing. And I love this. The idea of making 16 decisions, knowing got to do this next, this, and just keep moving. That's awesome. I love that. I really, really, really love that. And then the idea of just not talking about things longer than I need to, that he says at the end. And I also really like that because, I mean, this is the whole thing with meetings and things where just they're unnecessary. Well, meeting scheduled for an hour. We covered everything in 14 minutes. I guess we just have to spend the rest of the time just kind of going over it. And it's totally, it's soul crushing and it's completely not productive and not efficient and not a good use of resources. So don't do it to yourself and don't do it to others. So Brian, thank you so much for that, because I love this idea of breaking your day into these small chunks and just going for one to the next, to the next, to the next. And it's not one big, long, arduous task. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. As always, thank you so very much for joining me again today. It's been a blast. If you haven't, and you have a moment, if you're on an iPhone or an iPad right now, go to hacktheentrepreneur.com/review. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/review. It's got this magical link that'll take you right to the page where you leave a review. You can leave a review in like 2 minutes and 14 seconds, I believe. I heard the record is 2 minutes and 11 seconds. If you do it faster than that, email me. I have a prize for you. Seriously, I do. John at Hack the Entrepreneur, email me. If you can do it in less than 2 minutes and 11 seconds, leave me a review. I would totally, totally love it, and I will send you something really awesome. If you're on an Android device, could you please go to Stitcher? Hacktheentrepreneur.com/Stitcher. Leave me a rating and review. That would also be very awesome. It helps the show so, so very much, and I love going in there and reading them. even if they're scathing and terrible. There's not that many of them, but you know, if that's what you feel you need to do, by all means. Any attention's good attention. All right, I won't take any more of your time. I do thank you for stopping by, and yeah, until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.